So how do you think, Masumi, things are going to be developing over the next few days, to the extent that it's possible to see ahead? Do you think that we're seeing a lull in the opposition protests now after the first few days? What's your feeling for how things are going to move from this point?
I think the demonstrators that came out to the streets of Tehran and major cities in the past week are a very sophisticated crowd. They are probably the cream of Iranian society. They may be different in terms of being religious or, and secular or right and left, but almost all of them are from amongst people who are like students, professors, doctors, lawyers, educated people, journalists, and their leadership. The leadership of the opposition is from the heart of the Islamic Republic. It understands how the Islamic Republic operates, how it ticks. Therefore, I think they are going to be very careful what they do. They have to be very careful with what they do in the next few days in the light of the very radical speech by Ayatollah Khamenei, I think.
This is when Ayatollah Khamenei spoke last Friday, and it was, most people observed, it was an extremely hardline speech. There was no hint of any concessions at all over the election, over the protests. He was drawing a very clear line in the sand saying, thus far, no further, dissent will not be tolerated.
Yes, absolutely. I think his speech was probably one of the most dangerous, one of the most radical I've heard of him. And at a time like this, he could have created more of a balance between the two sides. After all, as he said in the speech, the four candidates were from the heart of the Iranian revolution. And they were all powerful people with their own networks. And then they were backed up by a very mighty powerful person, a main political player like Ayatollah Rafsanjani. And he clearly sided with Ahmadinejad, who's a relative junior. And this antagonized, angered not only those four candidates, but also a lot of the young people who were waiting for something new from him. They were hoping that he might mediate and he might take their sides. After all, about 15 people by that time had been killed. And in a two-hour speech, he didn't make any references, he didn't give any explanations as to why these people had been killed. So it was a moment that he lost, I think.
Do you think that it was in Khamenei's power, if he'd made a different speech, he could have diffused the crisis and somehow brought it down to a more controllable level? That is to say, did he, in not doing that, has he moved the crisis on to a higher level that is perhaps now out of control of the regime?
Absolutely so, because for one third of his speech, he was going the right way. He was praising the four candidates for all they've done through the Islamic Republic, for all their contribution to the revolution and the years after, and highlighting the roles that each and every one of them had played. So at that stage, you were thinking, okay, he's going to say now that, you know, the two sides should sit down, we will investigate, you know, you should take this forward in a peaceful way. But then he suddenly changed gear and went into a mode in which he was fully on the side of Ahmadinejad, saying, okay, these guys are very good, but Ahmadinejad is the guy who thinks like me. Therefore, I think that he suddenly escalated the whole thing, and he finished by saying that whatever happens now, the consequences be on the shoulders of the heads of opposition. But at the same time, it was him who was giving the green light to Islamic forces, in fact, for going out to clamp down on all demonstrations and all opposition.
So what conclusion should the opposition forces draw from this? What is Mir Hossein Mousavi going to do faced with this extremely hardline response from the very top of the regime, from the scenes that we've seen on the streets in recent days? Does Khamenei's response have a radicalizing effect, if you like? What are the opposition to do now after such a response?
The message was clear from Ayatollah Khamenei: silence or confrontation. And as the opposition has not chosen the path of silence, it is very difficult for it to choose the path of confrontation. Why? Because despite the fact that Rafsanjani, Khatami, Mousavi, Karoubi, Rezaei, they all have fantastic networks of influence and fantastic network of devotees and followers, they do not have access to the Islamic forces. And that's probably why Khamenei chose Ahmadinejad, because Ahmadinejad is the person who would have much better relations with the Revolutionary Guards and with the Basij militia and with all the forces. When he came to power, he changed almost all posts across the country, and he placed in them intelligence, security, Revolutionary Guard personnel who had worked with him, and he knew them personally. That's why a lot of people were saying, we don't know members of cabinet. We don't know the members that are at the governors in all these provinces. So therefore, he has the route to the forces that need to stand up now. And unfortunately, I don't think the opposition has this. The opposition has the moral support of the population, perhaps, or half of the population, but it doesn't have the force that it needs to back it up.
I mean, certainly I can say from my own experience in Iran in the days up to and immediately after the revolution, I was impressed, in a negative way perhaps, is what I mean, by the sheer power of the Iranian state. You were looking at something pretty formidable, well-organized police and paramilitary units who were able, at that stage at least, fairly intelligently to use methods of crowd control to take on demonstrations. There were acts of brutality. They got worse later on, but they were certainly displaying a degree of sophistication. And it seemed to me, just trying to make sense of this, that this was a very unequal struggle, that you had a well-organized state that, as time went on, has been prepared to act more ruthlessly with loss of life, not caring particularly about what the world thinks of those images, against an opposition movement which was angry, passionate, enraged, but on the face of it, lacking in direction and leadership. That seems to me to be the way things are now. I wonder how you see things developing over the coming period.
But despite its might, and you're absolutely right, it was a very sophisticated, well-controlled force, but I think it has been shaken. It did not expect such a massive showing by millions of people in the streets of major cities. And I think it's terribly nervous now. It was interesting to watch Ayatollah Khamenei speak. He looked nervous. He looked as if he was under a lot of pressure. And indeed, I think it is Rafsanjani who's doing a lot of networking, a lot of work at the background. I've heard that he's still in Qom. And he's trying to exert pressure on him. And it could be in the form of saying that I would come out and I would challenge you if this is not pulled together. And that could be quite dangerous for them.
But is there any prospect? Some people have said that Rafsanjani, who is after all in charge of this important body, could convene the assembly of experts, which at least in theory, constitutionally, as I understand it, has the power to challenge the supreme leader and even to replace him. Do you think that is even conceivable?
It would be very difficult. He would have to convince all the people who are in that assembly of experts. And he would have to prove that Khamenei was incapable of leading the Islamic Republic. It would be very difficult for him. I think his style would be to exert pressure, and I think he's doing that. And I think the regime is looking more and more nervous every day by decisions that it makes, like the decision with blaming it all on foreigners. It's gone out of control, like the decision to unleash Revolutionary Guards at peaceful demonstrators, most of whom are young people. I mean, it's going too far. It's being too radical.
This instinct to lash out at foreigners, this is very much part of the behaviour pattern, I think, of the regime. Do you think that this will go further, or they're just trying to score points and to lash out because they feel under pressure?
It's part and parcel of their style, as you well know, and I think it's a very good way of arresting people, even of justifying why they've killed them. Because if you say that these people are spies run by American and British intelligence and bring them on TV like they have been doing in the past few days, then you justify, in Islamic terms, why a Muslim is killing another Muslim.
But it's a completely cynical maneuver. It's designed to bolster the repressive powers of the state by accusing people falsely, we assume, of working for foreign interests.
But as you know, this has been happening all the way through the 30 years of Islamic Republic. Every time they want to condemn someone, they want to put someone in prison, that's exactly the excuse. Many people who come and go to Iran are often labeled. In Kayhan newspaper is full of them. Every single person who goes and they don't like, there is a little article about them in Kayhan newspaper the next day saying they're working for foreigners.
Where do you think this leaves the large questions, the large international geostrategic questions, particularly about the Iranian nuclear program, about American, Western concerns, Israel and so on? We saw President Obama speak out after some hesitation about what's going on in Iran. Do you think that all those hopes for some kind of dialogue with Iran now lie in ruins, or is it too early to say?
Well, the reaction was partly surprising because the West has been trying to make contact. And indeed, Obama has played his cards very well. I think everyone has passed the opinion that he, you know, he has been quite wise. He's been quite sensible in the way he's treated the whole situation. So I can't really foresee that that discussion will take place very soon now, because obviously Khamenei with his speech and then with these tit-for-tat expulsions of diplomats, I think that's now gone to the background. And they see it more convenient to attack foreigners so that they can control inside. Once they've done that, they may make other approaches. And also, don't forget, a very important part of negotiations with the West, although not very many people discuss it, is Rafsanjani and is Khatami. And these two are now very quiet, both of them. So I think that will be delayed for at least 6 months to a year.
Do you think that the regime feels now that the moment of danger has passed because of the way it's acted in the last few days? Or do you think it still feels very much under threat? There's been this tremendous global interest in what's been going on. We've seen the very dramatic television images. We've seen the picture of the girl who was shot dead in a demonstration. That's gone right round the world, a martyr, if you like. There's been the whole Twitter phenomenon. This has become a story in media terms that the whole world is looking at. How do you think the regime in Tehran, in its inner sanctum, is feeling now after a few days of this sort of exposure?
It's actually amazing that the reason why this regime is so frightened is precisely the footage that came out of the very first few days when we had John Simpson of the BBC going amongst the crowd. And the footage that came with him, the films were fantastic. It really exposed the regime to the world. And that's what's made them so nervous. I think if there is one reason why they are angry with Britain is because of these images that have gone across the world and have been seen by everyone. And also because they lost control. They tried to block opposition websites. They tried to block information going outside, but they couldn't do it. And the young are very, very clever. And as you know, their methods of having these mobile phones in their pockets all the time, constantly filming and then sending them out, has been very, very successful. And I think that's what's making the regime nervous, because it can see that it can no longer control people and keep them quiet. It has been exposed. The brutality of the regime has been exposed, and now it just doesn't know what it can do with this fact. It doesn't know where to take itself.
Is this an Iranian revolution?
Opposition likes to call it evolution rather than revolution, as you know, because a lot of these people are familiar with the brutality of the Islamic Republic and the forces that that are in operation every day. We see them on films every day. I don't think it's the time for a revolution, but these lingering strikes that we are hearing about constantly, if they become more meaningful, if the workers who've been suffering with a very poor economic situation are made more and more angry, if they come out to support, it may take a different form. And there are a lot pockets of anger amongst the workers, especially in major cities like Isfahan and Shiraz and Tabriz. So if those things happen in the next few days, it is possible that it will become much more serious. But I don't see it happening yet.